Thank you, Alistair. We've been looking at Korah and some of his descendants called the Sons of Korah. I think it's 3 weeks ago, Brian happened to mention that in his devotions with Jan, they'd noticed some of the Psalms, in fact 11, have the title, the Sons of Korah. And we're just going to look at one of them in the last of this little series. It's a well-known Psalm, Psalm 46. But before we turn to Psalm 46, we look at what many commentators, and I would agree with them, regard as the background to that psalm, which was the invasion by Sennacherib, or the army of Sennacherib, when he invaded the little kingdom of Judah. And because there are so many parallels between that account and Psalm 46, we'll take our reading from Isaiah chapter 37. It's a long chapter, and we'll read about three quarters of that chapter. But as I've said, the scenario, the background is the invasion by the Assyrian army of Judah, and they're encamped around the city of Jerusalem. And in the previous chapter, we read how one of the emissaries of the Assyrian emperor, Rabshakeh, mocks the faith of the king and of the people that God will deliver them. And we take up the account in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard these words, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over his household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, but there is no strength to bring forth. It may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer, for the remnant is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, Thus shall ye say unto your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned, and found that the king of Assyria was warring against Libna, for he had heard that the king had departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhakah, the king of Ethiopia, He has come forth to make war with thee. And when Rabshakeh heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden which were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of Sepharvaim, Hena and Eva? And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord, and spread the letter before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, who hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all those nations and their countries, and they have cast their gods into the fire, For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they were able to destroy them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, O Jehovah, even thou only. And the rest of the chapter gives the response of Isaiah, the prophet, to Hezekiah's messengers. And we'll just read selected verses. For example, verse 28, God says of the Assyrian king, I know thy abode, and thy coming out, thy going out, and thy coming in, and I know thy rage against me, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into mine ears. Therefore will I put my hook in thy nose, my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap, plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take fruit downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, or cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by that same way shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer his sons smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the hand of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. I think we sang in the second verse of our hymn, when storms o'erspread the sky. And if ever a storm did spread over the sky of Judah and of King Hezekiah, it was when the Assyrian king invaded the land of Judah. Some 200 years earlier, and you notice the last verse of Isaiah 37 mentions that Sennacherib's capital was Nineveh. And we associate Nineveh with the prophet Jonah. Some 150 or 200 years earlier, Assyria and Nineveh was at a low point militarily, and it was in danger of being overrun by its neighbors. Because of its sin, and God was merciful to that city, Jonah didn't want to go to the capital of Assyria. And I won't repeat what Pastor said a number of months ago. If ever a nation was barbaric in warfare, it was the Assyrians. I'm not going to go into details. They are horrific. But those of you who went to the British Museum will have some idea of the utter cruelty and inhumanity and the barbarism with which the Assyrians fought against cities. It didn't matter whether you held out or whether you surrendered. They were masters, if that's the right word, in torture. And they deserved to be destroyed. Jonah thought so, and that's why he went west instead of east. But we have a great God whose compassion is far, far greater than ours. And the Lord is not willing that any should perish, says Peter. And that's not just New Testament theology. Peter is only saying, in other words, what God had said to Ezekiel, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I would much rather that the wicked turn from his evil way and live. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? We sometimes, our sinful human nature often draws a line, and we say of certain people, they are so evil, they are beyond the pale. Only God knows that. Only God determines that. Paul could say, it's a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not respectable sinners, not religious sinners, but sinners, said Paul, of whom I am chief. Paul said of himself, before I was saved, I was a blasphemer. That's interesting, that word, blasphemer. Saul of Tarsus had never spoken evil of God. He had spoken evil of Jesus of Nazareth, and yet he says he was a blasphemer. He'd never blasphemed the God of his fathers, but he'd blasphemed the God-man, the Lord Jesus. Think about that. If the Lord Jesus Christ is man and not God, then how could Paul describe himself as a blasphemer? He couldn't, but he had spoken evil of God. But to come back to the Assyrian invasion, Hezekiah and the little kingdom of Judah was at its wit's end, and we've read the story of their deliverance. But we're going to turn to Psalm 46, which many, and I would be one of them. The more I look at it, the more it has in common with the days of Hezekiah. And Psalm 46 is well known, but it's an encouraging psalm. You notice the title of it. It says it's for the sons, or literally by the sons of Korah. We've said enough about Korah. He was a rebel and an apostate that perished. But his three sons did not side with their apostate father, and they had descendants, and many of them were in the Levitical choir that sang the praises of God in Solomon's temple. And this is one psalm by the sons of Korah. And you might notice, if you look at the various psalms, there are allusions. They deserve to be sung by the sons of Korah, because there are allusions, maybe, I won't say accidentally, because nothing is accidental with God's word, but there are allusions to the experience of Korah. For example, you notice in verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed. Isn't that precisely what happened to their ancestor Korah? The earth parted and it swallowed up Korah and his company. But this psalm, I think, refers to the days of Hezekiah. And it begins with the words we know so well: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And again, in verse 7 and verse 11, you have the same trust in the Lord as a refuge in the time of storm. Verse 7 and verse 11 are more or less identical. The Lord of hosts, or literally the Lord of armies, is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's a psalm of trust, and if you keep one finger in Isaiah 37 and another in Psalm 46, it might make life a little easier. But in Isaiah 36 and 37, notice how the trust of Israel in Jehovah is mocked and attacked. The one thing that Satan hates is the faith that the child of God puts in the Lord himself. Remember, I think it was a few Sundays ago, we looked at Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, what? That thy faith fail not. The Lord Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. And Satan will do all he can to attack the faith of the child of God in the God who is their Father, Creator, and Sustainer. Why? Well, because Hebrews 11 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is simply taking God at his word. And if we turn, not to chapter 37, but chapter 36, notice how the king of Assyria's ambassador or emissary attacks the faith of the king and his people. Chapter 36 and verse 4, Rabshakeh, the Assyrian ambassador, says to Hezekiah's messengers, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, as far as I'm aware, apart from Solomon and the Lord Jesus Christ himself, this is the only other example of a man who styles himself as the great king." He's defying not only Hezekiah, but the Lord God of heaven and earth. And Rabshakeh says at the end of verse 4, "What confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" And notice, if we jump to verse 7, "If thou say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and to Jerusalem, he shall worship before this altar?" He doesn't stop there. If we jump on to verse 14 of the same chapter, he's outside the walls of Jerusalem, and his language and his blasphemy is increasing, because in verse 14, he accuses Hezekiah of deliberately lying to his own people. He's going to do even worse in the next chapter. But in verse 14, he says, "Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you." That's true. But notice verse 15, "Neither let Hezekiah," here's the attack on their trust in the Lord, "neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." He's accusing Hezekiah of deceit. But if we come on to the chapter that we read in verse 10, he has passed the line already, but here he seals his doom. He does not realize it. In verse 10, he says to Hezekiah's messengers, "Thus shall he speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria." Back in chapter 36 and verse 14, he says, "Let not Hezekiah deceive you." Now in chapter 37 and verse 10, he accuses Hezekiah's God of deceit. He says, "Let not thy God, in whom thou trustest, deceive thee." He's calling the God of heaven and earth a liar. One of the very things in Scripture that the Bible tells us God cannot do. He cannot deny himself. It is impossible, says Hebrews, for God to lie. And here he accuses the God of heaven of deliberately telling a lie. His blasphemy is accompanied by anger. But if we come back to Psalm 46, notice that first verse, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Notice the two words, strength and trouble. And if we come back to Isaiah 37 and verse 3, we can see how this psalm ties in with the language of Isaiah. Hezekiah the king hears the reports of Rabshakeh's blasphemy, and he says in proverbial language, "This day is a day of trouble, a present help in time of trouble." But he goes on to say, "of rebuke and of blasphemy." For the children are come to the birth, but there's no strength to bring forth. Hezekiah saying to his messengers and to his officials, we're as weak as a woman that is ready to give childbirth. Her time has come, and yet there's no physical strength to deliver the baby. We have no strength of our own, and it's a day of trouble. Hezekiah confesses his weakness. He had no strength, but in verse 1 of the psalm we've read, God is our refuge and strength. He is a present help in trouble. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, there's a sense in which I glory in infirmity, because when I am weak, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am strong. And the psalm goes on to say, in verse 2, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, when we have no strength, therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the waters be cast into the midst of the sea. We're not going to look at every verse in the psalm, but notice verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Notice that word rage. We came across it in Isaiah 37. It's repeated. God, through the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 37 and verse 28, says of the king of Assyria and his messenger, I know thy rage against me, at the end of verse 28. Verse 29, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose, my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way which thou camest. I once heard a preacher, and he had a good title for his message. He based it on Isaiah 40, and the title of his message was, Our God is Too Small. Not that God is small, but very often we limit him by our little faith. And yet God says of the mightiest empire of its day, in that 29th verse, the Assyrian king and his vast armies are no stronger in my sight than a fish that I catch with a hook, or a horse that I put bit and bridle in. Isaiah 40, to come back to that chapter, and of course it ends with those lovely words, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That same chapter says that all the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers in his sight. Mighty kings, mighty presidents, they may have their finger or the right to press the nuclear button. They are nothing in God's sight. And God says of the Assyrian emperor and his army, by the same way, verse 34 of Isaiah 37, that he came, he shall return. God says of this army, just as a man can guide a horse in whatever direction he wishes with bit and bridle and reins, so God can steer and direct the mightiest kings and their armies to do as he pleases. And verse 6 of Psalm 46 says, the heathen raged, so the nations raged, the kingdoms were shaken, that is the kingdoms that they conquered, but God uttered his voice and the earth melted. Notice in Psalm 46, verse 9, it says, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. I know, and maybe people will remind me and say, well, there are many things in this psalm that await a future fulfillment. And that's true. They do. There are certain things that have never been completely fulfilled. And it does have in view the future millennium. But its roots are based in history. And verse 9 says, he breaketh the bow. In the middle of that verse, If we come back to Isaiah 37, and it's in verse 33, that Isaiah says, on behalf of the Lord, concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, he shall not even shoot an arrow against it. Why? Because God says in verse 35, it's my city. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 46. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. It's God's city. Or Psalm 48 says it's the city of the great king. God said of Jerusalem in the days of Solomon, I have put my name there, my heart shall be there, and my eyes shall be attentive to that city. And the city of God is Jerusalem. It's still his city. One day it will, in fact, be the city of the great king. And that's why in verse 35, the Lord says, I will defend this city. I will save it for my sake and my servant's sake. What an encouragement that must have been to King Hezekiah. And yet, you know, you and I can encourage ourselves and our hearts with something even greater. God has saved us, and he will keep us saved for the sake of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a humbling thought, but in Ephesians 4, and I think it's verse 30, not verse 31, Paul says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, I'm going to leave out three words, even as God hath forgiven you. I've left out three words where I paused. Can anyone put them in? I've given a reference, so never take what I say because I say it. Test it by the word of God. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, if he'd forgiven me for my sake, there would be times when I would doubt my salvation because I'm not worth God forgiving me for my sake. But he hasn't forgiven me for my sake. He's forgiven me for Christ's sake, the perfect man, the one who said, I do always those things that please the Father. And if he's forgiven you and forgiven me, he's done it for the sake of his Son. And what confidence that ought to give us. But one last thought. There's so much more we could say, but we'll take maybe one of the best known verses in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen or the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I've written down a note by that verse. That verse is the answer to Hezekiah's prayer. Keep a finger on Psalm 46, verse 10, but turn back to words that we read in Isaiah 37. Hezekiah takes the letter, that blasphemous letter, mocking his trust in God, and he does the best thing you can do with a letter of that nature. He spreads it out. Verse 14 of Isaiah 37, before the Lord, and he prays. And he says, O Lord of hosts. That's a title that comes up in Psalm 46. The Lord of hosts is our refuge. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubim, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. And then he prays in verse 20. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou alone. What does Psalm 46 verse 10 say? Be still and know that I am God. Hezekiah prayed in verse 20. Save us, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Hezekiah put his trust in the Lord. Psalm 84 and verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, that title again, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. That one last reference, which I meant to give earlier and is too good to leave out. Hezekiah exhorted his people to trust in the Lord. The Assyrian king knew it. And if we turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, here we see how Hezekiah trusted and encouraged his people. Hezekiah says to his captains of war, when did generals, by and large, use such words to address their troops and encourage them to put their trust in God? But in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 7, the king says, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed of the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. And Hezekiah borrows the words of Elisha the prophet and says, There are more with us than with him. That wasn't true if you just count the people in the respective armies. But Hezekiah wasn't looking at men, because verse 8 says, With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. The hymn Stand Up for Jesus uses that phrase in verse 8. The arm of flesh will fail us. We dare not trust our own. That's why God has given us the armor of Ephesians chapter 6. But notice at the end of verse 8, and it says the people rested or stayed themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. There's another hymn that says, isn't there? Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are truly blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. And Psalm 146, verse 5 and 6 says, Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that therein is, who keepeth truth forever. We too, like Hezekiah, can say that the Lord is with us. Does Hebrews 13 say? Let your conversation, let your manner of life be free of covetousness. Be content with the things that you have, because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's a lot more in Psalm 46 and Isaiah 36 and 37, but I think I've said enough. And if our trust is in the Lord, then these passages will encourage us to live for him, however evil the days are. I'll hand back to Alistair for the prayer time. Thank you, Alistair.
Andrew, for that, it was really encouraging to know that God's always there, and all the things that he says and all the things that he does for us. And it's encouraging to know that he can't lie, and all the promises he makes will come to pass because of that. So thank you for that. Deep encouraging. Thank you for those joining online. And if you are leaving the church, can you do the usual? Spray your seats, wipe your hands, close the door on your way out. And we'll move on to our prayer meeting, so thank you. Perhaps I should have mentioned actually, on Saturday, what time are we meeting on Saturday morning? If you can make it down, for those who don't know, we're decorating the church for Christmas on Saturday. 9 o'clock in the morning, if you can't make it, I'd love to see you, but it'd be also very useful because we need lots of hands to put the decoration on and make the place look lovely already for the Christmas period. Son, and